Hello, it's Saturday afternoon, and this is a bit of a departure from the normal podcast I've been recording each week. So each week I record a podcast all about the Year 10 GCSE computing class I teach, but I'm in the middle of marking some Year 11 GCSE mock exam papers, and as I was doing so, I just thought, why don't I record some of the thoughts going through my head at the moment. So my hope in recording this is just to share with you some of the things that I do in terms of mock exams and GCSE papers. And actually, it's relatively new to me, so I thought, well, if I share some of the things I'm doing, maybe somebody could listen and respond and say whether they do similar things or give me some tips about how I could improve what I'm doing. So it's probably nothing revolutionary in what I'm doing, what I'm going to talk about in a moment. But I'd still be interested to know, are other people doing the same things as me or doing it differently? So if you're wondering what all the noise is in the background, I'm in a coffee shop on a Saturday afternoon. So there's some Christmas jazz music playing. Lots of people drinking coffee and talking to their friends. Anyway, so here we go. So yesterday morning, my GCSE computing class that are in Year 11, they'd sat a 1.5 hour exam paper that I set for them. And I'm about halfway through marking the exam papers at the moment. And I just thought I'd start off by telling you a little bit about what I did in the lead up to this mock exam, and then what I plan to do after the mock exam. So I'm teaching OCR GCSE computing, and I had to choose an exam paper to set for my pupils. So what I did was I logged into the OCR interchange system. It's a secure area that OCR use, and yeah, you need a username and a password, but then once you're in, you can access some recent exam papers. And I think that's quite good, because it means the children, you'll have some probably clever children in your class who can find ways of downloading previous exam papers, but they won't be able to get through the OCR security system unless they're really good. And if they're that good, they shouldn't be doing GCSE computing. They should be doing something else. So I downloaded the exam paper for 17th of May 2012. And the mark scheme was there as well. So I got both of them at the same time. And it's a single tier, so there isn't a foundation tier and a higher tier. So once I downloaded the exam paper, I had a quick flick through it to see what were the topics that they were going to be asking questions about. So there's things on there about, as I have a flick through, there's things like input and output devices on a tablet computer. There's a bit on network topologies. There's a question on logic symbols, things like AND and OR and NOT gates. Then there's something on common file formats, things like AVI, BMPs. There's a little bit on deanery, binary conversions, and hexadecimal. There's some questions on issues that affect CPU performance, things like clock speed and cache size. Then there's a question where the pupils need to understand about how flowcharts work and symbols, and they have to respond to a diagram. What else? And then there's some questions on database management systems, mainly the principles of how they work. Then data representation, why do computers store things in binary? Okay, we've got a question. Question 11 is all about, high-level code, machine code, differences between them, translators, interpreters, and compilers. Okay, there's some written responses, extended writing responses there. Okay, and here's a question towards the end all about sequence selection and iteration. And the final question, they have to write an algorithm to calculate for a taxi firm how much it would cost if you have a standard rate for journeys and adding things in and that. So I'm trying not to give too much away in the podcast in case your pupils find this and are asked to solve or answer the question. So once I'd had a quick look through, I prepared a revision list. And then I make use of the Susan Robson book, GCSE Computing, So, and I've purchased copies of that for my pupils. So I marked out the revision list, but I didn't make it too specific about what the questions were going to be about, but generally the topics and where in the book the page numbers that they were going to find. So in the lead up to the mock exam, I planned on 10 lessons where there was homework set that the children would have to read through sections of the text and then prepare themselves to come in next lesson, and we were going to have some lessons, activities, testing them on what they had read the night before or two nights or so. So each lesson, we had divided the exam paper up or the revision list into 10 topics. So we would, for example, we had a lesson all about input and output devices and network topologies. So within that lesson, I then had some questions that I took the questions from the mock exam paper that they're going to sit and then modified them so that it would give them a sense or a flavour of what the exam questions were going to be about without actually telling them what the questions were. So, for example, there was one where it asked them to convert a particular number to binary, one to hexadecimal, so I wasn't going to give them the value that was on the exam paper, and I decided to extend it and change it just a little bit. So every three or four lessons, we would have the whole lesson would be literally just answering an exam paper. But what I did then was I gave them some questions that I'd written, and we'd spend around about half of the lesson, they would have to write the answers to the questions in their exercise books. And then we spent the remaining half of the lesson, they would swap books, so swap the answers. We'd go through the questions one by one, they'd mark each other's answers, and then we'd have discussions about why a certain question got a 1 or a 2 or it didn't. Now, just as an aside, if you're wondering why there's Christmas music playing in the background, it's because I'm recording this on the 15th of December, so that's why we've got Ella Fitzgerald singing, swinging. So these were the lessons that led up to the mock exam. Is there anything I've not mentioned? Let's see. So by marking the children's responses to the questions in the lesson, it gave me an opportunity to establish if any common misunderstandings. Let's say all of the group hadn't quite understood about how you convert, you know, a binary number into hexadecimal. We could then, you know, go back over that to get rid of any misunderstandings. So today I've been marking exam papers in my such of age-old way that I've always marked exam papers. So my practice is I stack all the exam papers up and then I just mark one question at a time or one page at a time. So I've got 16 children in my class, so I stack all the 16 papers up and I just mark page one, I mark it 16 times. So candidate one, mark all of page one. Candidate two, mark all of page one. And I know it's different from some of my colleagues. They prefer to mark a whole paper at a time, then another whole paper at a time. And there is some merit in that, in as much as you're going through the pile, you kind of feel like, well, you know, I've marked 10 exam papers, so I know I'm, you know, more than halfway through. But my opinion is different. My preferred style is to mark a page at a time. And my argument for doing that is I get to see how did all of the class respond to a particular question. And it means as I'm marking, I can compare child to child. So I've just marked one where there was logic gates and they all had to give a particular response. So most of the class got full marks on that one. So when I get to the odd child where they got 0 or they only got half the marks, I have a quick flick back to see, ah, that's that child, right, okay, so I need to invest some time with that particular child to make sure that they know in future how to respond. And it also means we're going to be writing a report soon. I can make some individual notes to myself that, yeah, that child really needs to brush up on their understanding of logic gates. So another thing I will do later on, once I've finished marking all of the exam papers, I'll then enter question by question. I'll enter the child's results into a spreadsheet. And it's a bit laborious because I'm having to turn a lot of pages, but it does pay off dividends in as much as I'll be able to see at a glance how did the whole class do in terms of specific questions. And I can give the, I can create in the spreadsheet, I can put in things like, what's it called now? Conditional formatting. So I'll colour it by traffic lights. So if they got full marks, they get a green. If they only got half the marks, they could get an amber. Somebody's just tripped over a chair, not me. And if they got no marks, well, that could be a red. So back to marking them. So a few years ago, I was employed as an examiner for one of the exam boards, and I picked up a few practices, one of which is, if you're marking an exam paper where or a question where a child has put no answer in, I'm into the habit now, if I put a line through that space, that's just so that... It doesn't happen very often now, but a child can say, well, sir, you've not marked my question properly because, look, I actually wrote this down and you've not marked it. So by putting that line right through the blank space, I can say, no, you didn't. That's why I put a line through it. So it gets rid of that. So, nothing else that's worth mentioning. So, yeah, the style, my way of marking, that habit I've got into, marking a page at a time with the whole class, it does take a... You're not really finished till you're finished, but it does help me build up a profile of how each individual pupil is responding to the answers. And it means that I can analyse certain questions to see what happens. And then the final thing is, in our school now, we're into this practice now where we don't give the children their results back straight away. We have scheduled in school, we have a date where we have a mock exam results day, where they get all of their results handed back to them at once. And it gives them a little bit of a flavour about what it can feel like on their real results day, which will be in August. And, you know, it's preparation for that. Anyway, so I hope you've got something out of me talking over the loud Christmas swinging tunes, and that maybe you'll have picked up a couple of new things. But I'm sure you've got some age-old practices that you found actually work better than what I'm doing, and I'd love to hear about them. So if you can respond to this blog, you can record your own vocal response, or you can tweet me at technoteacher, T-E-K-N-O, teacher, or send me an email, alan@odonohue.org.uk. O'Donohue is O-D-O-N-O-H-O-E. Yes, there's a lot of O's in it. And if you... wondering who I am, I'm a teacher in a secondary school at Our Ladies, Preston in Lancashire in the north of England, and I'm a CAS master teacher. If you don't know what that is, you've not heard about the Computing at School Network of Excellence, get in touch and I'll let you know all about what's happening. Thank you very much, and if you listen to this just before Christmas, the very best to you over the Christmas season, and look forward to seeing you in the new year. Bye.